Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Steven, I have to paint a picture for you and all of our listeners, and I'm going to try to make you jealous and also thirsty at the same time, okay? Last night, I go out on the back deck. It's one of these nice fall evenings, you know? Right? It's kind of, you can tell it's kind of like before the rain. It's still a little warm outside. It's nice and crisp. I have a glass in one hand. I have a nice big rock of ice in that glass, and then I crack open some cocoa bomb whiskey from our sponsor, Heritage Distilling. And I pour that over that nice big rock of ice in that glass. And I sit down on my back deck, Stephen, and I listen to the birds chirping. And I watch the sun go down as I drink my cocoa bomb Heritage Distilling Company whiskey. Oh, delicious. It's, first of all, it's whiskey, Stephen, but it also tastes like chocolate. Doesn't that sound delicious?
Yeah, I'm not a big whiskey guy, but it does sound delicious.
Ooh, they extract all of the right floral, herbal, whatever the biological or scientific terms are for whatever's inside of chocolate that makes it so special, and they include it in the distilling process at Heritage Distilling when they make their cocoa bomb whiskey. And I'm telling you guys, I'm not putting you on. I was sitting out there last night just sipping away, feeling like if it was warm, it would taste more like a s'more or something like that. Maybe I got to hit up Heritage, Katie. They got like a s'more recipe or something.
Let's ask.
Oof. Cocoa Bomb Whiskey from Heritage Distilling Company. Proud sponsor of the Take 12 podcast. And you guys can pick them up at grocery stores and fine liquor stores up there in Western Washington. Also check out their ready-to-drink cocktails in a can, Steven. They mix it all up. They just throw it into a can. You crack it open, pour it over ice.
You guys got all the hookups, man.
Oh, man. It's just the best from Heritage Distilling. You guys support them, they support us, and the world goes round. Thank you to them for sponsoring the show and sponsoring the cold open. And if you're going to open a Heritage already made cocktail, make sure it's cold, right, Katie?
Oh, yeah.
Hence the cold open.
Oh, ice cold.
Time to start the show. You ready, Steven?
Yes, sir.
He's like, that's enough talk about your back deck. Let's talk about football. All right, here we go.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it on live. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we rep it for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 podcast on the Believe NFL Sports Network. I am your host, Brett Davern. I'm from Edmonds, Washington, and I'm a lifelong Seahawk fan. Usually joining me on every episode is my normal co-host, Lofa Tatupu, former All-Pro linebacker for your Seahawks. But the man has a busy dance card today, so I am joined by our good friend Stephen Hagland from the Guilty as Charged podcast, all about the LA Chargers. We're going to break down the upcoming matchup this weekend between our Seahawks and their Chargers. You guys can find them on all podcast apps. It's the Guilty as Charged podcast. Steven, Tyler, and Alex holding it down for the Chargers over there. But before we get into all of that, let me tell you about another one of our fine sponsors. I'm coming to you guys live from the Wiener Schnitzel Virtual Studio, two locations in Western Washington, Everett and Fife. Go on in, mention the Take 12 podcast, get a free soda with any other purchase at Wiener Schnitzel in Western Washington. That's right. There are Wiener Schnitzels right in our backyard, and they are delicious. Corn dogs, chili dogs, burgers. By the way, you can get everything with chili or without. It's delicious both ways. They got bratwurst with sauerkraut, root beer dipped ice cream cones, Steven.
That sounds delicious. I love root beer floats.
So, right?
An ice cream cone? Heck yes.
Everybody's had the chocolate dipped ice cream cone, but a root beer dipped ice cream cone? It's one of a kind.
That sounds pretty fire. Yeah, that sounds fire.
Check it out at Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Let them know the Take 12 podcast sent you. Once again, two locations, Everett and Fife. Do something different for lunch today. Steven, big game coming up this weekend. Your 4-2 Chargers against our 3-3, I think, surprising Seahawks here in the NFC West, a matchup of two West Coast teams, of course. You guys played the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football last, so we're getting you guys on a bit of a short week. And Justin Herbert also threw almost like 700 passes in that game. Let me just get your give me your hot take, Steven, on this game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, well, if you go find me on Twitter, you'll see I have pinned on my tweet a take of mine from back in March that Khalil Mack was going to move the needle more for the Chargers than Russell Wilson did for the Broncos.
Whoa.
And I think that's been my best take of the year so far. And obviously, big shout out to Gino up there in Seattle crushing it, making everybody look kind of foolish there in Denver. So, in all seriousness, I'm really excited about this game. This should be much more of an offensive-driven game than what we saw on Monday night with two really good defenses going at it. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited to see what happens. Obviously, there's the Uchenna Nwosu potential revenge game as well, which will drive some interest as well.
What you're talking about with that.
So Uchenna Nwosu obviously spent the first 4 years of his career with the Chargers. We were told on our show that they had a deal in place to bring Uchenna back until the very start of free agency when they were able to go out and acquire Khalil Mack, and we were also told that Uchenna felt a very certain way about being disrespected by that move. So yeah. If you're a Seahawks fan, I would definitely look for Uchenna to play the best game of his career on Sunday.
Oh, so, that has me excited.
Should be
man.
A fun matchup for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that has me excited. I'm excited to see how he does in this game. I wanted to talk to you, though, about our defense, because, you know, we think there'll be a lot of points scored in this game. However, our Seahawks defense finally found something last week against Kyler Murray and Arizona, and the defense only gave up 3 points. Six more came on a play on special teams and all of that. It wasn't really on the defense. So we only gave up 3 to the Cardinals. And like you said, the Chargers, they only put up, 19, but the final 3 came in overtime. 16 in regular time. And like I said, Herbert, 37 of 57, but he threw 60 passes. I mean, is he going to be tired coming off the short week? like I said, the Seahawks defense is improved. Your guys' defense is good. I think we could see a low-scoring one here.
I think that's always possible. You know, I feel like anytime there's a lot of, like, shootout talk in particular games, it ends up being lower-scoring than people think.
Yeah.
Justin threw, I think it was 52 passes against the Jaguars coming right off of that rib injury.
Yeah.
And then he followed it up with the game against Houston that was just really, really efficient. So that's one thing that we have really come to love and respect about Justin Herbert is that, you know, if he has a bad game, he's almost always going to follow it up with a really good game the next week. So the short week, I'm not super worried about for Justin. You know, the Chargers have some other injuries that they're dealing with that those are more concerning for me. Than Justin Herbert not bouncing back and having a good game. And, the Denver defense is fantastic. I think it's the best defense in the league right now. Doing some great things up front, doing some great things with Patrick Sertan. They got Justin Simmons back, which absolutely, you know, paid dividends for them in that game. So we went into the Seahawks or to the Broncos game, excuse me, expecting a low scoring affair just because of how good the Broncos defense is. There was no Keenan Allen. Our right tackle was banged up. So Corey Linsley wasn't playing in that game. So we expected a low scoring game. And obviously that's how it played out, unfortunately, for the national TV audience.
Well, this isn't Russ bashing at all. You guys just happened to play Russ last. And so that's what I'm going off of here. And the quarter, let's just talk about it like this so that people don't say, because, you know, we're a Seahawks show and people are just, oh, they're all over Russ all the time. Okay, let's just talk about it like this then. The quarterback you played last, he didn't really do anything in the second half. No. How much was that the Chargers' defense versus, you know, maybe him not being able to find open guys, frankly?
I think it was a mix of both, right? Okay. You know, Russell, there were definitely some opportunities he had.
Who? You mean the quarterback you played last, right?
Yeah, the quarterback we played last. Okay, we're doing that. All right, I got you. Yeah, the quarterback the Chargers played on Monday night certainly right. had some opportunities, you know, over the middle of the field. If you go back and watch that game, Khalil Mack had a sack late in the second quarter, and Greg Dulcich, their rookie tight end, was like chilling at the, you know, in the middle of the field, and,
right.
and the other quarterback could have easily hit him for at least a sizable game, you know, gain, excuse me, you know, 7-8 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just doesn't look in the middle of the field. So there were certainly some opportunities, but the Chargers defense did a great job, in my opinion, stopping the run, setting up some third and long situations, and Khalil Mack, Morgan Fox, and the rest of that defensive line were really able to get after him. And then, you know, they dialed some great blitzes with Derwin James, Drew Tranquil. So, you know, the Chargers love doing these designer looks to get Drew and Derwin, you know, blitzing more frequently. And, you know, if your offense is consistently living in third and long situations against the Chargers, like they're going to make you pay for it because of those blitz packages that they're able to draw up with Derwin and Drew, like I said.
Well, we here in Seahawk land are in love with Geno Smith. Geno F.
As you rightfully should.
Geno time. He's having a great season. If he keeps playing like this and we add a few more wins to the column that only matters, you know, maybe we're talking some MVP votes down the line. He's having a great season. And he's a little bit more accurate right now, especially than the quarterback you played last week. And so I think we're hoping he does look down down the middle a little bit more and find some of those guys for sure. What about fourth down with you guys and your crazy coach who uses all four downs all the time, which I kind of love. I mean, as a fan, it's really exciting to think that he'll go for it from anywhere on the field and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's opened up this whole talk with fans and with analysts in the league about analytics versus your gut or when you should go for it or, you know, your side of the 50, their side of the 50. I mean, the conversations are endless. But how do you feel as a Chargers fan with all this stuff that's going down?
Yeah, he actually has been much more conservative this season than he was last season. You know, last season, they went for it for the most amount of times in the league on fourth downs. Mm-hmm. You know, if you looked at the Ben Baldwin always tweets out those graphics, right, of who should go for it when they're supposed to. The Chargers were at the top for the whole season. And this year they're, I think, 12th in the league in fourth down attempts and 12th in the league in that regard. So he's been more conservative this year. Some of that is obviously due to the fact that he trusts their defense more often. Mm-hmm. Some of it is that they actually have a good punter this year. I wish it would be kind of in the middle, me personally, from last year and this year. Last year, I totally understood why he was hyper aggressive because the defense was just, it was not very good. And you obviously have Justin Herbert, you trust him to make those plays. And for the most part, it worked out. A lot of people point to kind of what happened in week 18 against the Raiders. And that's kind of like what people remembered last. But, you know, if you go back and watch the whole season from last year, you know, they don't beat the Bengals without his aggressive mentality. They don't beat the Chiefs in Kansas City without that mentality, or the Eagles in Philly. So I wish there were a better balance. To me, he's Brandon Staley has kind of swung too far to the opposite side of the aggressive pendulum, if you will. I wish there was a better balance between last year and this year.
So you like it, you don't like it, it's situational.
I mean,
how do you feel sitting on your couch? Yeah, you like it. Okay. Yeah, I would too. I mean, you got a young quarterback, he's a stud, he's probably a generational talent or could be, and you might as well let him see what he can get done. It's just from your own 30 or 40, sometimes it can get a little dicey, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they did it again. He was pretty aggressive against the Texans, which I ideally would not like to be in that situation. But it worked against the Texans. They did it well. The decision to go for it when they did against the Browns, to me, was the worst decision that he's made in terms of game management, because the Browns only needed, you know, like 15 yards to be in reasonable field goal range. Yeah. They ended up only getting like 6 or 7 and thankfully missed a 54-yard field goal, I think it was. So that decision was very bad, and the Chargers were very lucky to come out on the opposite side in that regard. But for the most part, I think Brandon Staley is smart with his fourth down decisions. Ideally, I would like to see them be like at midfield or beyond it to start going for fourth down.
Right. Yeah.
But in general, I like it. I think he trusts Justin Herbert to make the plays. And this year, you know, like I said, I think he has a defense to hold up for the most part in those situations if they don't convert.
Interesting. I want to get the injury report from the Chargers' perspective. The injury report this week brought to you by our friends at EpicSeats.com. Go to EpicSeats.com whether you're buying or selling seats. Maybe you got Seahawks seats that you're looking to get rid of for some reason. I don't know why. The team's playing great, but maybe you want to do that. Maybe you're a Kraken season ticket holder. You're looking to sell those, or you got tickets to a concert or anything. If you want to sell tickets that you're holding on to, go to EpicSeats.com. It's a local company out of Seattle. The guys that own it and run it are all born and raised in Seattle and all that. So local company, EpicSeats.com. Mention Take 12 for an extra $12 per ticket when you're selling tickets, or 12% off when you spend $100 if you're buying tickets on Epic Seats. It's EpicSeats.com, everybody. And it's the injury report from Steven from a Chargers perspective. Who's hurt? Who's banged up? Who do we not have to worry about? And who's questionable?
Yeah, so I think the biggest name, obviously, is going to be Keenan Allen. He's missed the last 5 games with a hamstring injury. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster there. You know, he's an older player. The hamstring has given him some problems. The expectation was going to be that he was going to play in the Houston game. And then he actually re-aggravated the injury. So essentially, this is 2 different hamstring injuries, if you will. He told ESPN's Lindsay Theory last week that he was targeting a return for this week against your Seattle Seahawks. So we'll see there. The Chargers beat reporter for The Athletic says that he kind of views it as like a 50-50 chance because the Chargers have a bye next week. So essentially you'd get, you know, two more weeks off for Keenan Allen with only missing the 1 more game. So we'll see there. The one that obviously people are kind of talking about this week from a Chargers perspective is Joshua Kelly. The Chargers' second running back finally had like a bit of a breakout game last week against the Browns, really able to separate himself from Sony Michel. And he actually got hurt on like the second kickoff of the game. So he's a core 4 special teamer as well. We should see Isaiah Spiller, who they drafted in the 4th round last year. There's a chance they might choose Larry Roundtree because of his ability on special teams. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, that's a big downgrade going from Joshua Kelly and Sony Michel to Sony Michel and potentially Larry Roundtree for the Chargers rushing attack. And then Dustin Hopkins, the Chargers kicker, who very notably was in pain on Monday night. He's out for potentially 4 weeks. So they signed Taylor Bertolette for the Browns game. So he'll be the kicker. He made all his kicks against the Browns. But obviously now he's going to be kicking for the team for probably the next month or so. So we'll see there. And then Corey Linsley, like I said earlier, missed Monday night with food poisoning. He should be back. And then Trey Pipkins, their right tackle, has been playing pretty well, has an MCL sprain. It's not serious enough where he'll miss games, but he was pretty clearly not himself on Monday night against the Broncos.
Who's got you, besides Geno? We talked about Geno, but other than that, who's got you a little nervous from in Charger land on our Seahawks? Like, is there someone who kind of keeps you awake at night?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be DK Metcalf. You know, JC Jackson, I'm sure people who watched the game on Monday night really saw what has happened. The Chargers, of course, signed him to a big 5-year, $100 million contract. You know, or 18, I guess it was 85 or whatever. Anyways, they're paying JC Jackson a lot of money to come here and be you know, a true cornerback one, and it hasn't really panned out. He had a weird ankle surgery situation right before the season started. He missed the first week, came back for the second week, suffered a setback, missed the third week, and he's not playing well. He got benched for Michael Davis on Monday night against the Broncos, and the passing attack for the Broncos really suffered because of that. Yeah. That's obviously not an ideal situation. So we'll see what happens there. Asante Samuel Jr., really solid cornerback number two. Bryce Callahan's really good in the slot. But, you know, if we're talking about Michael Davis or a bad J.C. Jackson covering DK Metcalf, I think that could be an area that Geno's able to exploit a little bit. Well, and then Kenneth Walker, too, has been very impressive as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, in regards to the receivers, last week, I think Tyler and DK both only ended with two receptions apiece, even though they were targeted. I think DK was targeted 9 times. Tyler was targeted 7. So, you know, they want to get them going this week. So hopefully that's bad news for you guys. Kenneth Walker was actually who I was going to bring up next, because he's got to be one of the hottest players people are adding and dropping out there in their fantasy leagues. I don't know why they would have had him already. Maybe they were just
I drafted him in two. Oh, you did?
Okay.
Right,
well, hey, there you go. You've had him for the long haul then. I mean, he looked great. The rookie looks good. You hate to see Rashad Penny go down, of course. But I mean, he stepped in and he looks fast, and we're excited up here. But you guys, you said you were stout against the run. So we'll see how Kenneth's able to do on Sunday. I'm not sure.
I will say,
yeah, go ahead.
I will say that the Chargers have had a big issue with like allowing explosive runs.
Ooh, good.
So they're stout along the defensive line. You know, they signed Sebastian Joseph Day, Austin Johnson, traded for Khalil Mack. Kyle Van Noy is a good edge rusher against the run. So they're good along the defensive line. Drew Tranquil is their best linebacker. He's good against the run. But if Kenneth can get to the second level, then the Chargers could be in trouble, because they don't have, outside of Derwin James, they don't have secondary players that like to tackle a whole lot. So that was a big problem against Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. It was a big problem against Damian Pierce, the other rookie running back. So, you know, if the Chargers are you know, playing sound schematically, they theoretically shouldn't let Kenneth Walker get to the second level. But if he does, it's curtains. Like, he'll, you know, if he's able to get past that, you know, he's probably going to end up with like a 50-yard touchdown in this game. So I'm definitely concerned about Kenneth Walker as well.
Oh, good. You hear that, Seahawks
fans? It's just that, yeah, you know, it's just that the J.C. Jackson situation is definitely looming large right now, and that's kind of the talk of the town. So
yeah,
that's why I started with DK, but Kenneth definitely concerned me as well.
Yeah, no, I got you. All right. Well, hey, that's good news for us then. Hopefully some of that comes to fruition. If you guys are looking to wager on this game or any games, head on over to our friends at betonline.ag, everybody. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, spelled our way, BLEAV50. BELIEVE50 for a 50% welcome bonus, whether you're betting on the Major League Baseball playoffs that are going on. The NBA just started up, I think, a couple nights ago. Obviously, football's in full swing. Hockey's up and running. All kinds of sports out there. They also have a 24/7 online casino that never closes with table games and all kinds of stuff. So betonline.ag, whether you're using the app or the browser, is the place to go to make your wagers today. Steven, I mean, if you were wagering, man, like, how do you kind of see the AFC West shaping up? You know, there's a lot of talk preseason about best divisions in football, who's going to be tough, this and that, you know, all kinds of stuff. The NFC West was talked about as being one of the toughest divisions in football, but that hasn't really happened yet so far this year. But what's going on in the AFC West?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of offseason talk about the Chiefs' demise, which I never bought into. You know, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, that's just too good of a head coach quarterback duo. So I do expect the Chiefs to ultimately win the division out here in the AFC West. I think the Chargers are pretty clearly the second team in this division. While I'm very happy about the Raiders' demise, I was not expecting it to be this bad right away.
I don't think anyone did.
No. So, I mean, it's definitely not lived up to the expectations, but I still think, you know, the Chiefs will be, you know, the one or the two seed, depending on how the Buffalo Bills end up playing. I think Bills probably end up being the one seed. Mm-hmm. So the Chiefs will be very good. They'll be right there in the end. I do think the Chargers will make the playoffs, but I think obviously the expectations are dampered a little bit after all the injuries and everything that's been going on down there in Los Angeles. But I still think that they'll at least potentially sneak into the playoffs, win 9 games, 10 games, something like that. But yeah, those are the only two. You know, I don't think the Broncos bounce back from this. I don't think the Raiders bounce back from this. So definitely a disappointment overall.
Be honest, how many times do you say San Diego when you're talking about this team? Because it almost comes out of my mouth every single time I even think about them.
Me, never. I've never called them San Diego. Okay. I'm a bit of a location, spelling, grammar.
All right.
Stickler. So,
well, I bring it up because I spend a lot of time in Los Angeles. I'm an actor, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the Chargers, they're not getting the respect they deserve. You guys, if you go down to LA, there's billboards for the Rams that say like whose house on it and stuff. I mean, the Rams have fully just decided that LA is theirs and that stadium is theirs. I mean, they literally say whose house. I mean, the answer is there's two teams that play there, Rams, yeah. And the Chargers are one of them. But man, they kind of locally down there, they fly under the radar, that's for sure, but they also just get kind of pummeled with the Rams marketing. How does that sit with Chargers fans?
The situation is unique for both sides. I mean, the Rams are definitely more noticeable, like in the Inglewood and downtown LA area. The Chargers have really focused more on like the Orange County kind of market. So there's a lot of season ticket holders that, you know, make up the drive there.
Closer to San Diego also.
They do training camp. Yeah, you know, they do training camp down in Costa Mesa. So that's been a successful marketing tool for them. So I'm not too concerned about it. I mean, everybody kind of talks about the fan perspective. The reality is that they're both in a very similar situation. Even though the Rams have won a Super Bowl, like they're still dealing with like stadium takeovers, just like the Chargers are.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
We all saw what happened with opening night with Bills fans. And, you know, they had a Cowboys fan takeover recently as well. So I wasn't at the game on Monday night, but people who were there said it was about 65-45 Chargers fans. So eventually after everybody got there, after all the LA traffic and things like that. So, I mean, it's a long haul for both teams, right? Like people want to only focus on the Chargers, but we all saw a Niners home game in the playoffs in SoFi Stadium when it was in Inglewood. So both teams are kind of struggling with the same thing.
Yeah.
And the Raiders are doing the same thing too in Vegas.
Well, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Chargers. I actually do, because I think I'm pretty sure the first Seahawk game I ever went to in the Kingdom in the late 80s was Seahawks v. Chargers in the like navy blue Chargers unis and stuff.
Yeah, the retros.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then also, you know, I can't root for the Rams in anything just because we obviously share the same division and there's all the rivalry going back to St. Louis and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah. I would rather see the Chargers. And by the way, the Chargers have better uniforms than the Rams all day long.
100%.
All day long. Better logo. The lightning bolt is way cooler than just the silly curly Q horns and all that. So I have this soft spot for the Chargers. And I kind of don't like to see them getting disrespected in their own stadium. It irks me. And if I was a Chargers fan, it would irk me to no end. Believe me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hate the Rams uniforms. They're too like soccery for me.
Totally.
With like, the glossy numbers and the
chrome.
Absolutely.
Agree.
It's a little bit too much for me. So
I completely agree.
You know, if you're able to ever go to a SoFi game, you know, I would definitely encourage it. From a Chargers perspective, the Chargers put a lot of money into their production department. So
cool.
You know, I've heard people who've gone to both games say that the Rams games are just like really boring, that there's just not a lot of production things in there. So you know, the Chargers have put a lot of effort into like that side of the game. It's a much more you know, consumer friendly environment, if you will. They do a lot more
cool,
like I said, just like musical aspects of things and contests, and their game day host does a really good job. So the Chargers home games are a lot of fun for sure.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to check out the Chargers versus Seahawks game this weekend, our friends at Epic Seats are giving away 2 tickets. You guys just got to find Lofa's post online where he gives out a movie quote, and then you guys just, you know, fill it in who it is, and we'll put everybody's name in a hat. It's usually pretty easy. So multiple winners, but we put the names in a hat, draw one out, and we will send 2 lucky fans, whether you're Chargers fans or Seahawks fans, to be honest, to this game. It is in LA, so if you're in Seattle and you don't want to make the trek or anything like that, or you do want to make the trek and you're looking for tickets, check us out on social media and you could win tickets from us and Epic Seats. Also, Score predictions. That's where I was going next, Stephen. We do the score predictions on the show because we run a score prediction challenge on our social media at Take12Pod on all social media, where you guys predict the outcome of the game down to the points. And if you nail it, we'll give you a $50 gift certificate from our friends at Simply Seattle. And if you get close enough, if you're the one who got the closest, we will give you a $25 gift card from our friends at Simply Seattle. Steven, how do you think this one shapes up ultimately?
So I do think this ends up being a relatively high scoring game. I don't think it's going to be like high 40s or anything like that. I think both teams end up getting close to the 30 point mark. For me, it's just, Corey Linsley, Keenan Allen coming back for the Chargers is going to be a huge boost for them. I do expect the Chargers to, come out victorious in that because, they've been able to really put some games together, not on Monday night, obviously, but really bounce back in a big way against the Texans and the Browns without Keenan Allen. So they'll get Keenan Allen back. I do expect him to play and give this Chargers team the boost that they need. So I would say Chargers win probably 33-28.
Okay. I'm going to say that this one is low scoring, lower scoring than we all think it's going to be early. And then a few, maybe like a quick, how sometimes the ends of the games, they'll just like score points quick. And so the final score won't really reflect what happened for the whole game. I think this one could be an ugly, 13-10, for like at halftime or something like that. And then halfway through the third quarter, it kind of stays that way. And we get into the fourth and then maybe some points. So I'm going to go Seahawks 26, Chargers 24. But like a lot of scoring between the mid third and the final end. And we're going to be all entertained at the end. And we're going to forget about the sort of boring first half that we watched that set it up. I don't know.
So that's like a game-winning touchdown or
something like that. Yeah, something final drive. We got two quarterbacks here that are looking good. They're playing well for their teams. These teams are exciting and entertaining to watch. I think at the end of the day, we're all going to have an entertaining football game to watch, which is what we all want. And, of course, we want a Seahawk win. So hopefully we get that. Steven, I appreciate your time here, man. Thanks for jumping on and helping us out today. You guys can find Steven and Tyler and Alex on the Guilty As Charged podcast, wherever you find podcasts. They're on social media at GACpodcast17, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Nice. Yep. And then you can find Steven at Steven I. Hagland on social media. We're out of here, though, guys. That's enough for us today. It is closing time. Steven, dude, just thanks a lot, man. Thanks for your perspective.
Yeah, appreciate it. Happy to jump on anytime.
Yeah, thanks, man. We got to jump on your show. Get the big guy on your show. Come over there and tussle you guys' hair or give you noogies or whatever he does. I don't know. That's it for Take 12, everybody. Check out our sponsors, Wiener Schnitzel, two locations, Everett and Fife. Mention Take 12 for a free small soda with any purchase. Heritage Distilling Company, the Cocoa Bomb Whiskey, and the ready-to-make cocktails poured over ice. BetOnline.ag, EpicSeats.com, and, of course, Simply Seattle. Also, our Germany trip, everybody. We're still selling tickets. We're going to go see the Hawks play in Germany against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Munich. The trip is now just basically a one-day travel package that is a morning brunch and breakfast meet and greet with six Seahawks legends at the breakfast. You get to hang out and, I don't know, they'll sign whatever you want or they'll stand around telling football stories, whatever that is. And then we'll get transportation over to the game. You get an authentic game ticket to the game right there. We get into the stadium, we go watch the game, and then we also, after the game, get transportation to an exclusive after party on the ground in Munich, Germany, that you'll only be able to get into if you buy tickets from us. So check it out. What else, Katie? Anything else before we get out of here officially?
Nope.
No. All right. Steven, hands up. We break it down like the players do after practice. So hands in the middle. This was a great episode, a great pod, a great practice. Steven, thank you for joining us. Katie, what should we break it down to? What do you think?
Germany.
Kenneth Walker having a good game. He might come back and have a good Geno time. We've broken down to Geno before.
Though. Hey, I'm all for Geno. You know,
he doesn't want Kenneth. No, he's scared of Kenneth Walker. Really no, he's scared of Kenneth Walker. We're breaking it down to K9. K9 on three. K9 on me. 1, 2, 3. K9.
K9. Hey, that also works because Kenneth Murray, number 9 for the Chargers. Let's go.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big.